Carl was telling me about Normandy material, which are cooler shells talk to each other. Anybody else have to?
This is a story.
Yeah, story.
No, that one made out of sections is the one that Kai Wabu was wearing.
No, but there was once a case when Monticello went somewhere. It's a necklace. They were wrestling in the same house and they were retrieved. They were taken back, so they didn't make it. So they said that the two were screwing.
You can see they're all oiled. See the face paint. Typically of that kind. Well, with a fair amount of variation, other women put it on you normally. So it's up to them, and they often experiment with it. And notice this, a low forehead is admired, so they'll put black paint along to lower the hairline. These, of course, are scented leaves, and so are these very highly scented body rubbed between the hands to bring out the scent. And the coconut oil, they're wearing this as well. There's a lot of attraction magic connected with all of this, which will, in this case, attract you to food that's dispensed at the end of the ceremony.
Those white feathers?
Those are the hornbill feathers, is it?
I'm sorry.
These are just everyday wear. These are coconut shell. And so is that one, which is a coconut shell. They wear those all the time, but not the jewelry. This is really to show, this is very dark. Never mind.
Which one is it? The second.
This is to show her necklace draped around with the pearl shells at either end of it.
Whenever I have a string, I just remind them that man has that string across his shoulder.
Yeah.
Do they ever string needle nuts across like that?
No, the women, as you'll see in the real dances, have them, as they do again in Nobu, their pictures in Romulo, above their skirts. He's wearing a Pan magazine with a design scratched on it, which, can you see it?
Yeah.
Which they do for dances, especially. This is a pot that is a valuable in itself. All of these big clay pots are named. They are used in marriage payments. That is, they have personal names, just like arm shells and other things. And they are absolutely essential for cooking wedding feasts and so on. There is a disgruntled bride sitting in the background because she's marrying someone she didn't want to marry. And they've got to have these great chunks of pork suspended in them for the wedding feast. The consequence, of course, is that they don't get done. So they cut these things up and distribute batches of them to people who then have to take them home and recook them before they eat them. They cook one special small pot of things like kidneys, which will get done, and the eating is done on the spot at the wedding feast as that. And there's a lot of ceremony attached. I've got black and white pictures of her and her husband simultaneously squeezing coconut into these things.
The pots which are available in the troll rooms in Kirina, they seem to be much smaller.
Really?
Yeah. Is that right, Annette?
No, these are not the same size.
Same size,
yeah.
Okay.
There's some that are a bit smaller, but they're really different.
Oh, they look smaller on your picture.
Yeah.
Are they personally named?
Really
the
yeah.
Uh-huh. Are they personally named elsewhere to anyone's mind?
I
don't
know about
this
question.
Does anybody know of these clay pots being personally named anywhere?
No, never heard.
And these are still used just as much as ever. They're still essential for cooking feast food. So all of the small clay pots are pretty well dropped out of use these kind of all. This is a funeral, and I'm showing it to illustrate both the beginning of the whole mortuary build-up and also the division between the mourners and the Eowuna, the people who bury the dead, carry on, do various things, and gradually lift the taboos from the mourners in the series of mortuary feasts of the Wali. This is at the death of the most important man, the really leading Kai Wabu. This is his full brother here. All of these people are weeping. This is taken, the reason the village looks so messy, is the mourning had been going on at that point for about 20 hours. He died fairly early in the morning, the day before, and very elaborate ceremonies on mummification. And here the body is being laid out, and you can see the grave diggers covered with the dirt from the grave they've been digging, not mourning at all. Here's the brother, overcome with grief. All the women still weeping inside where the body had been, and so on and so forth. This is the division, and he is being buried with that paraphernalia and more. He was very much more heavily decorated. There's a lot of shading and painting of him and whatnot during the night with various business going on, that is, cells being sung and whatnot. But this is the Macau, the shell imitation, will be buried with him, so a very elaborate carved cane was put on his grave. This was the one case where I saw the grave opened afterwards to find out what the cause of death had been, what the response in the body.
Whereabouts was the grave, man?
Up on a hill, actually. What they do, they don't have anyone near descent groups, and they tend to vary. In fact, they have discussions at each funeral as to whether people are going to be buried in their father's or their mother's ground. So with a succession of siblings, they'll tend to alternate it. One brother goes to the father's ground, the next one goes to the mother's ground. They had common graves. They had shaft graves, and they would simply move out somebody and put somebody else in at the bottom. You got some very messy bones in there. And this was hung up at the funeral. Other mourners bring arm shells very often to contribute, not to leave, but just to hang up to show how wealthy the person was. In this case, this man was very wealthy himself, so these were arm shells that actually belonged to him, but there were others. If I photographed the whole thing, you'd see a lot of them hanging around. This, again, is what they look like with this kind of decoration, always.
It was the personal belongings.
Those, in this case, aren't his personal belongings, but any funeral, you'd see a lot of them, which might not be. They would be brought in by other mourners to show the wealth of the family as a whole, as it were, and then they would take them back afterwards.
Those arm shells look very narrow to me.
Not all, I'm sure. And these, one, that one's not narrow, that one's not narrow. Some of them.
Is this 20 years ago?
Would they correspond to low rank arm shells in the cooler?
Well, they look some of the ones we have in the box here. You know, I've never seen anything as narrow as that circular.
And those in the cooler would be much more decorated.
Yeah, but that's not so much old, but it looks to me like it'd be white.
They used to manufacture some of their own, and they said by the time I was there, that it was easier to get them from the Trobians.
They look more like the things we've seen for museums, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, you can finish funerals with just feasts, with a whole series of feasts made which lift the taboos. But if it's somebody who wants to make a name for himself, then he will sponsor real mortuary ceremonies building up to a sagali, which is the really big one. And in that case, it starts out with dances held all night. This was taken the morning after one, with just a few people coming who are usually the Afghans. The villages married into the village putting it on will come and dance and drum and be given food, and that means eventually they will contribute very heavily, especially in yams and other kelp, to the major feast. So that's who these people are. The men are sitting around playing cards, including one who's on leave from the army, and the girls have been dancing and stuff. This is one of the drummers. And those are everyday dance skirts, or every night dance skirts. I live very close to this. I used to get up out of bed and stagger over at intervals during the night and see what was going on and crawl back into bed again.
The houses, are they ordinary living houses?
These are present-day living houses. The old-fashioned kind had saddle-shaped roofs, which they were still using for occasional special yam houses made for ceremonies when I was there, but not for everyday ones. The everyday ones not only had these steeply pitched roofs like this, but had very heavy eaves coming down more or less from the floor, so there was very little space inside. So this is a government institution. Incidentally, every village has ornamental plants around it, and they are inhabited by spirits that are the guardians of the village and are supposed to strike down foreigners and enemies who come and threaten the place. And this is the food being given to those visitors. In the morning, there's a pig underneath all that pile of bananas and betel nut and taro and whatnot. These are the drummers. yamraks for a real Sigali, and each one of the affines contributes to a section of this. This is all the major dance. This is the Dayo, and this is the most elaborate dance that is put on, and it is something, as far as the Mohm are concerned, is only shared with themselves and the Salakahalli. This was taken in Salakahalli in the interior, because they didn't have it on the coast while I was there. And you see our pictures of it. See the white beetle nuts around the waist. Mm-hmm. That's for the really elaborate dances. And there's small yamraks as well, and these are the ones that had to be part of these under them. I was sleeping out on the veranda the night before this, and I was awakened in the night by the members of the village reciting spells over those yams, the purpose of which was to make them plentiful enough so they could satisfy all the visitors and still have a few left over for themselves. Okay. And here is a party bringing a pig to contribute to that feast, very aggressively, as you can see. Since I had once, in a moment of carelessness, gotten speared when one of these ceremonial things was going on, I used to get pretty nervous every time I saw a bunch of people shouting and waving spears. There's a large pig. We waited for about 8 or 9 days before holding the feast for it to arrive from another group of all there from the coast. Before the thing is held, we're going back now before that picture showing the yamrak. Magicians decorate the women and recite attraction magic over them. The dancers are the women of the village putting on the feast, the female dancers of the village putting on the feast. The male dancers are coming from other villages. So they're out in the bush, getting fully decorated. He's painting her face and reciting. And the idea is that this will basically attract food to them in this case, although it's very much like love magic.
Were they just unmarried women?
No, most of those are married, in fact. And here's another magician combing this woman's hair and patting it into place and also reciting spells at the same time. As you see, she's carrying a baby. Mm-hmm. It's mostly the married women of the village.
So they should be attracted to the
food. Yeah, right. And here is, they have this line of dancers you saw before, and then three main dancers of the women doing very elaborate steps in and out of them. As I mentioned the other day, this is the only place I know where you have such dramatic dancing by women. It takes lots of rehearsal. They rehearse for weeks before these things. And this is the thing, and she's talking about the fact that sometimes valuables get sort of swapped around. These headdresses, which are made locally, of cockatoo feathers, parrot feathers, and matico feathers, they don't have any of. And people do keep swapping them around so the main dancers can have them. This kind of armband is one of the interior products. They create the shells out of the coast, and they cut these very elaborate bands out of the orchid fairings inside. It's one of the things they paid over to New Guinea to get these cassowary feather dusters, which are essential both for dancing and for curing. They're absolutely essential for the men's curing ceremonies for witchcraft. So she's just one of the three, you know, trio solos, and all these others are dancing in the line.
That's a little reminiscent.
She's wearing feathers on each side. She's wearing a, as you can see, boar's tusk on her chest, and all the necklaces. Yeah.
And you said the cassowary feathers come from New Guinea?
No, there aren't any cassowaries in
the They told me, you know, things they you saw. That well, they told me they came from the Fergus.
Well,
so
they
came
from the Fergus.
Yeah, okay. That's what I did.
They came from the mainland New Guinea. This is one of the things they created. You see, they used to go over to Wamira and take things like this, whole batch of sort of interior products over there. They would get warrior-style pots and these and various other things.
Bill Woods tried to bring them into the Kula at some point in time. Have they been trying to get access to those feathers, or their stuff of Mwali would seem to be very large?
Well, there's no reason why Bill Woods couldn't get the information.
Can you pinpoint any reason that Bill Woods might be motivated to seek them out?
I don't know. Braille was the one who can tell how important they might have been in Dobu.
I mean, these people were once attempted to be, they attempted to bring them into the Kula. Why was this?
Oh, who
what
was
is it that they were trying to get out of these people?
I don't think they've got any.
Okay.
No, I know, they've got any.
Because there's lots of possibilities. I mean, there's lots of people on Ferguson, and they picked out these, so they must have had some.
Well, they were next door neighbors.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. The drummers are also from the village. Some of them dressed up, or some of them painted as well. And this is a girl also dancing in that. And at the end of that, the women will climb up the yambra and throw down betel nuts into the village. And they really, you know, throw them with considerable ferocity. You can get quite bruised. And then the dancers, the male dancers from the other villages come in. So they're just on their way up to start bombarding us all with betel nuts. And you can see large decorated yams hanging around here and various other.
What's the structure called?
The yambra, I have to get the yambra is called the curtain. There's all kinds of magic attached to cutting down that single post. I've been there, you know, I've watched all the construction. And it took a while, the bush spirits have to be appeased when that's done. Lots of blowing of conch shells when it's carried into the village.
Some are a little higher than the others. Is there any significance to being appeased to that?
The women, are there some of
them? No, I mean, look at the stacks.
Oh, that meant, you know, some affines go in a lot more yams than others. That's why there's sort of
divided
up.
There's rivalry, there's competition.
Or shame. There's more shame, really. Mm. On the other hand, of course, if you don't think you've been treated very well, there's some very interesting aggression when these things are brought in, and the Udila are brought in which people can attack the village into which it's brought and repeat all the nasty things that have been said about them during the year and so on. So sometimes it's not a sign that they are poverty stricken, it's a sign they're mad at their affines. And they don't bring a lot of
animals
to
it.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really fascinating here because, you know, when you're women and food, when you go together, you know, elsewhere we're talking about women and other things as well.
Yeah.
But
men do all the planning,
yes,
however, it's very strong and strong.
Okay.
Okay, here are the drummers getting very excited just before the male dancers come out. And the male dancers come out enveloped in a mat. So they're hidden, and there's a lot of symbolism having to do with hornbills bursting out of their nests after they've been walled up, you know, when their babies attached to that, which you're about to get to. It's the drummers who wear skirts here, not the male dancers.
Yes.
Right, here they're coming out of the mat. They've used a government style, that is government style, mission style, planted mat. So they're old sons. And the male dancers all carry a single pair of horse tusks in their mouths. I think it's important to perform. I saw it being performed in 68. It was an orchestral dance. And I'm sure it's just been taken over from Ferguson Island. I think they said it was. And they all have, they're not any, not much more heavily decorated. He's carrying an elaborate basket on the shoulder, again, of the new type. But you can see the arm shells, necklaces, face paint, and so on and so forth. And basically, they have very dramatic dances being put on by these groups of young men. And they also are trying to have a lot of magic attached to it, which will then attract to them a lot of food that they find in distribution.
Did you say you'd seen the Casavaga dance?
Did I say?
Me, yeah.
Anne?
Yes.
Well, is it the same sort of steps they're using, that sort of trembling?
Oh, no, I didn't say I'd seen the Trobriand dance, though in fact I had. No, I said I'd seen a dance of this sort, which was put on the Trobriands for the tourists. Here's somebody wearing a pretty traditional war leader's headdress.
That's
what happened.
Oh, yeah, these are all
mission baskets. Pardon me, is that the everyday dress you see to the right, the people in the caricature?
Yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I say in that particular area, the men had completely given up wearing these, whereas on either side of the Kuyu when I was there, you still saw quite a lot of men wearing this kind of. They went out to work primarily. No, they didn't do much cash cropping because the coast was so rugged that boats couldn't put in, and also there were no paths across it. So although they did produce some coca, they couldn't sell it. And at that time, going out to work was really the only way to make money. Most of them worked on plantations.
That's what they
Yeah, but they've also got a war coming just by invoking. process when I was there last time.
They
and they got the programs to sell beaten up and paddle around the government hospital facilities to whatnot. The dances are very dramatic. There's a terrific amount of variety in them. People make up their own, you know, they depict all kinds of animal behavior. It's that deal. It's so stylized, unless it told you you wouldn't recognize it. All right, we get on to canoes. This is the other way of making a name for yourself. It's not quite as important as a dayo, but ideally you do both. You both sponsor a canoe and put on these really major ceremonies. The canoes are connected with death as well. This is a pretty standard one. We've chosen to use blue instead of black paint, which you can see is my Smith-Sem style canoe. And canoes are normally made in the name of a dead relative. They stopped going over the mainland at the beginning, but they still do a fair, or did at that time. This really died out to a great extent when I was there last. Did a good deal of sailing up and down the coast, and as I said, it's a very rugged coast, so that's still quite something. This was just to show you what one looks like. This is old one. Now here is a ceremony for the launching of a new canoe. That's what some of those earlier pictures related to too. I missed the real launching because of a false rumor about the dayo, so I made one an unnecessary trip to the interior. By the time they tried to launch this one, it was too stormy. The southeast had started blowing and they had to hold the ceremony on shore. They couldn't have people dancing out in the sea. You can see the sea breaking. But they did all the rest of it. They were inside a canoe house, sheltered it with missiles from a sling, and dragged it out. You have some of the male dancing behind you seen, but the women were sort of dancing around the outside, guys up and down, and not putting on their elaborate performances. Okay. That's one of the male dancers, the same sort of thing. Notice the Halloween mask in the background. And this involves elaborate dances on the platform of the canoe itself. This canoe ought really to be out at sea, but you can see the waves breaking behind it. A girl, who in this case is the young daughter of the canoe owner, dancing, and then two men. Next picture. One of whom is the canoe owner himself, also dancing. And here are the big men sitting around afterwards discussing the canoe and saying what a rotten job it was. And if you saw a picture of the carvings on it, you would see exactly why. That's what happens when you let just any old impostor get his hand on steel tubes, you know. They were very polite at the time. They were mighty sarcastic. You know, he was just blasting them. You could see the sort of canyons on side. So, you know, we've got sort of a reputation for making a canoe, but it's not what it should have been. Whereas what you'll see in the next pictures are really good canoes.
That boy in the middle is very light-skinned, isn't he?
Yeah, you get a lot of the sort of partial albinism. That's his father. Mm-hmm. He also has red hair, although this is faded with time. You can see he's lighter skinned than the others.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of natural red hair. That woman who's the bride is one of them as well. And lighter skin associated with it varies a lot.
No, what do they think of that? Is that attractive to them?
No, no, red hair is very attractive. That's the most attractive thing. See the wine. Okay, now here is the other another new canoe. This is one I went off the voyage with. There's an innovation in that they've made the inboards in two pieces on that particular one. Right. And that's just being taken out on its various trips to the groups around the kind that Mike was describing to get a lot of valuables and to make it possible for the canoe owner to get a reputation. This is where they get the arm shells and match them eventually against ones exactly like them. They go out and given all these things, then the other group makes a return trip and you get the repay.
Same valuables going back or just match?
No, only the arm shells. The rest of it, this is coming back from the trip. This is the canoe that came along just to help carry the load. That's that primary one out there. And the things that were given We were given a dog all the way along between state. They killed him on the spot. But a live pig, which is being brought back to the mortuary in peace, and put pots, a wooden book, the programs, bananas, and a lot of other gear as well. This is the ceremony at which we got the Lincoln bark cloth from the mainland, and enamel pots, and stone sago beaker, and this, that, and the other. So there's a lot of everyday trade that goes on with it. But the giving of arms shells, especially to the Kiowa, who's directing all of this, shooting people at the same time, and he's the Kiowa, he's the one that sits on the platform. That's what's important. He's the one who's really making his name with all this. And they'll make a big mortuary feast in honor of the person in whose name the canoe was made, and that will build up his reputation with the students being brought back. Yeah, we've just got three more in the next room, and that goes on to John, so if you show last three.
Does anybody know anything about cassowary feathers in the context of canoe launchings?
Which
cassowary feathers? John, why everybody hauls them out? Why are you cut over there, put on the boat? And you know, nobody.
First two, really.
What's that canoe launching feast called?
What's the what?
The canoe launching feast.
Canoe launching feast.
Feast.
Yeah. It's about a door?
No, I really can't remember. No,
what
it's not that. Okay, this is the Kula transaction that I saw in that particular village that man came from. Here they are, that's my contribution to tobacco and newspaper and whatnot, sitting around discussing the manuals that they're going to give. This is the one Molo village that had been brought into the Kula. And in the next picture, there they are distributing them. This man has just draped a necklace over the shoulder of the one sitting there. These are their Dogu speaking visitors. So to that extent, there were minor Kula exchanges going on at that period. And that's all I ever saw of it.
How long did the relationship last?
Not, as far as I know, terribly long, but I haven't really checked, you know.
Right.
I didn't get back down to that village while I was there the last time. I was only there for a straight toe the second
The Dogouans were doing the initiating.
Right.
They were trying to bring
the
other
really
side.
They were really trying to drag this whole area
in,
and that's when these people were standing around saying, too much gammon. You know, we don't want to be in on all this, but this group at least had yielded, at least temporarily, because it was another way of making a name on the part of for some
of the people.
You
haven't really talked about it, sort of proselytizing.
Well, that's the interesting. Now, there were some baskets and women's skirts given during this as well, so it wasn't purely ceremonial things that were going, but they weren't things that the Dogouan speakers shouldn't have been able to get perfectly well for themselves. I had the feeling, you know, that they just thought, this is what you do when you're trading. You toss these other things in as well. It couldn't have been a very serious reason.
Did the Dogouans take necklaces? Did the Dogouans just go empty-handed? Did they take more?
The Dogouans were making the trip in which they were expecting to be paid.
Oh, really? They were, for the first time ever, they were opening up a relationship.
No, not the first time ever.
And they
had been going on for a while. I was just taking down to see them. But it was the first picture was showing the Molo sitting around discussing what they had that they might be giving to the Dogouans. And here they are giving them these to the Dogouans sitting there.
What did they get? Mwani or Sulana?
Both.
Uh-huh.
See, that's the one I was Solapa. Okay? And the last picture is quite was something for them who isn't here. Particular form of body decoration that they had there, in which what they did was paint designs with an irritating plant on the body, and then the skin would peel off where that was, you know, and leave a design of white against the dark. This girl, now grown up and married to a sergeant in the army, was my best friend of Bowman and Moresby for the last few years. Okay, that's all. So
did
that's
that
going on the John stuff. No, it's just temporary, you know, just the top layer of skin that comes off.
Oh, so this is a mysterious family of mine. This is from the west end of Rosslyn. This is the Younger Bay that
Is it around there somewhere? Is that the one?
Yeah, there's a picture down, you know, next picture. So that's the Chisco South Sea romantic dish.
It's tremendously romantic.
When I arrived there first time, that was the first time I've ever been in the Pacific Islands. We went direct after Morocco. We just stopped a day after the mission and then came to Morocco. And I saw that this was sort of jungle. But when I came the second time, I could see, of course, that it was just regulars and gardens and people and all that. Okay, next piece. So this is from the place where I lived, or my family, we lived there. It was at the northern coast of Brussels, about the middle. It was the biggest creek or river of the island. It's running down there. And there's a reef out there, and some small reefs inside the in the lagoon. Clearings up here, and then coconuts planted all everywhere in the low alluvial plain. But there's not very much flat there in the rock, it's very mountainous. So this is the village we stay in. This is actually this is the quality sound.
That's not.
So you would see that the houses are. I think that the average house in Ross is very big compared to what I've seen in the other pictures. Yeah, I put in to show you that they had those stone seats that you've seen on the Anne's pictures. So there in all the south of Latin with those backrest coming up. This is a bit jumbly because it was just at the corner of our house and they had to rearrange it when they built our house. Yeah.
What are they for?
There was some meeting going on. I think really maybe that was there was a man paying for about a year after a child has been born. They made a payment to the women who help the mother while she's in confinement in the menstruation hall or seclusion hall. They had those things on the model. I think that's how the next picture was. One relation. Yeah, that's a very small and very old fashioned menstruation hall in a small village where I came. So the women had to go there every month, and then when they get a child, they had to go there just after the child's been born, and for about 10 days they stay inside. Family.
That's a pretty unmessing thing.
Yes, that's a thing.
Family.
Nothing like that in the mess.
Oh,
you're willing now.
Oh, no,
Ross,
these things.
Yeah, that's what
we're saying.
Things that separates Ross.
Yeah. So that tells you something about the status of women. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's quite good, really.
This is a very small canoe. That's the minister on the west end of Russell, the Methodist minister. He had this one, or maybe his brother had it. And not very many sailing canoes on Russell. So there would be about, I think, four or five sailing canoes, and this would be sort of one of them. Not the largest, but they aren't very big. I don't know if they would go to Sudeste on this one, but the minister would go around to the Methodist villages. That's from the south and go to Ross.
No cowboy, yeah.
This is the traditional kind of rocket canoe. No sail and fairly long, would be something like 10 meters long.
No sail?
No, because there's I mean, there's the reefs quite near to the coast on the northern and southern side, and they're not really keen on sailing. They just pull along alongside the coast and up the creeks. They can go up as far as the tide goes in.
Were goods carried in the hull? The opening looks very narrow.
Yeah, the, in the middle part from here to here is the opening is a bit more wide.
It's wider.
It's hollowed out inside here, but there's only a slit left.
One leg in, one leg out.
No, it's the sort of opening you make just for hollowing it out, but not for putting stuff in.
Yes, that's right. Well, they're
running different in their canoes.
So this is the design of the prow, you know. Do you have anything like that?
No.
This is this reef here. This is the shark mouth.
In the canoe book up there, there's some terrific drawings of this Rassel canoe. It's really unusual.
How many?
In the canoe book that we have, Marnell, he's got some very good drawings of the Rassel canoe.
Yeah. Are they copied from Armstrong? I have never seen that Helen Hornell book.
Right there.
Oh,
they probably are. I'm not sure.
They used to have big racing canoes. More slender and with special lashings and things, and they were very could only run it in very smooth water, but they could be paddled very, very swiftly, and they used those for the big men used them for going to feast and taking ceremony and making races.
Mm. Oh.
There are also some people three, four of them building big large boats.
Large boats.
They landed at the Porto mission. But it's a very slow procedure and it's differently organized for different boats. One had his, that was only the sort of his, the local village building it. And the other one he did it himself with paid labor. Third one, that was different. Contributors who came in and paid for nails and things and they worked, so it was organized differently. But they, what they worried about was, of course, the engine, how they're going to get loans for that. And also how to arrange when they finally got them made, how they would, they weren't sort of worried about them saving them, but how to do business. So, yeah, I don't know, they may be rotten. This is sago making in rock. They don't use those stone blades as they do it in Togo. They have some curved stick with a small it's hollowed out a little bit, so it has some sort of a edge there, so they can scoop off the. It's made of a mangrove, a very hard mangrove.
Yes.
So I don't know if this is the way to make sake, but
yes,
massive, I suppose so.
Yes. Yes.
Same thing in Dobu.
Same thing.
Yeah. It's nearly all of it is. Well, the central parts are made of the sago palm. I mean, these are the bases of the sago palm leaf.
Yes.
And this is made of another basis of the sago palm leaf.
Yes.
This is the fibres from the coconut tree.
That's right. The dogwoods don't usually have a bucket. You've got a bucket for the water.
Yeah, they've got a bucket. I don't know how they, I suppose. Yeah, before they would have used the bamboo.
Bamboo, yes, probably.
I think so. This is a dark game. Do you have any dark games in elsewhere?
Massive.
They put up a stick like this and they put it into the ground and it has to be a little bit sort of could be slant, must be bend, yeah. And he's having this small stick and he just lets sort of come gliding along this sort of bin thing and it makes it go very far. I think that there are dark games in Tikopedia, I've read about that, but
yes.
The chiefs are very important, that there's a lot of ritual.
They have
and also it's very democratic and egalitarian, and they just have one of those things at each end of the football square and they throw all the darts from one end to the other, and then some of them go into the bush behind, and they go there, they collect them, they go throw the other way, and they're not very sort of, I mean, they don't measure how far they can go. They have a sort of general impression this man is very good.
These people must be tired of counting.
Count anything else.
Yeah. No, but they have the kind of dart games where you throw a rolling dart.
Like an anthropologist.
I don't know where really it could be one of my classes. the father he sailed around when he came on patrol and he took not beer but he took goods. This is taken around the place by the local church, village. There's a rock shelter at the middle of the island with some rock paintings. I don't know if anybody of you seen anything like that. There's some very crude birds there, but this could be a little bit more. This looks like some Bronze Age Danish rock carving.
That looks vaguely like the stuff in Throbbing, doesn't it, Jack?
Yeah.
What is it?
What man is it? The problem is that there is a track going over the island there that the school boys and children and girls who come from the South Coast and go to the mission, they pass this place and they write their names or all the things. It's getting there.
There's a veins of gold in there.
It could be very old, maybe not very old.
That white bird looks pretty great.
This is. This seems to be sort of starlight. I didn't take the picture. These are the valuables besides the film on the film. There is the ceremonial limestick on roughly Scotland Yard. And these are the stone based Biata. And different kinds of necklaces. I can't remember the different names. This one is called Pirity.
John, there was a shape very like that limestick on the lagoon, of which Dan Callow had a photograph, had a slide from the museum. Do you remember?
Yeah. You see that all these, I haven't seen anything of this modernized stuff which runs in the Cougar now. I mean, they all like the ones in the old books. This is the thing they make on Roswell and
is there any chance?
They have a few of those banana seeds, I mean, but they are imported from Ferguson, I think.
Why are the banana seeds there? Any idea?
I don't know. I haven't gone into the sort of details. I didn't do very much on the sort of secondary levels.
Is there any...
These things, they said that they were some sort of bones or something from the feet of the birds, but it may be just only symbolical, because Debbie had something about Woodgar's legs or something. I don't know.
John said the other night.
I think this time it's supposed to come from Woodland. This is important to Ross. She said there are two different ways of stringing them. Mm-hmm. Here they are just flat and there they are. Like that.
John, I understand you correctly the other night that people have no awareness of the cooler existing. They don't know that in some way they feel.
Some of them must know. I mean, those that are boat crews and go on the harbour. I mean, the local people didn't know anything about
it. But
I didn't really walk very much about the island after you know the cooler, so it's just an impression.
They look totally uncorrupted.
Northern stuff. This is the top and down on all Roswell Island. The only one then. And the man who owns it is a fairly young committee man, was he at the time I was there. And he said he had a generality. It went from his sort of great-grandfather and so his grandfather's father lived in the main line. Never been used, it was too precious to use by anything. This one is, I think, one or two steps low and here. And then there's a guardian of this one. This one was one of those very big ones that they could use to pay for cannibal victims. These are low rank ones. They're a kind called chili. And they're supposed to be sort of rollers for this one and this one. I can't really explain that very well, but that could be some low rank used for a kind of a fancy operation, I would say.
John, do you know anything about the principles of those rankings? Like, the obviously, different color shadings there, are those significant?
Yeah, it seems that the low rank ones, they you can more or less know them on their coloration. But the top ranks ones, some of those would be white, some of those yellowish, some of those red. I think it's more or less the history and the individual name. But these are untypical. I think they are sort of antique, old fashioned ones because they're usually not that long type. They're more triangular. You can see how the other ones are.
Do you have ceremonial showings there? Top number one?
No, that was something that I arranged.
I have a series I brought with me of the way they used to do it, John, the ceremonial exchanging, if you want to see that afterwards.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Is that about the size of the
room you passed
around?
Yeah, I mean, that one would be more or less about the size of the small one I had inside there, you know. This one a little bit more. This is the topmost cut on the island. It's really enormous, very big, great thing like that, much larger than the ones that I sent around the other day. Very sort of seems to be very old. It's been fondled and handled a lot, and it's not quite. Has been worn down. Never used too big.
This is Chama, Chama.
That's Chama. The other ones, I think the top rank ones is difficult to say. I think maybe most of them came from Tibet, and they could be made out of different shells. The low rank dark are mostly of spontaneous.
Oh, these are. Spondanus or Chama, this?
Chama.
Chama.
So here we have the way they put on a rope at the at a feast. This is the day after the feast, and they're sort of discussing how it's going to be arranged with some of them going back and all this stuff they talked about. It just shows that they're really keen on separating, and they're not. Armstrong, he thought that when they put them on a rope, they would get all mixed up, but they don't do. They really separate them, and they when they take them off the long rope and put them on the individual strings again, they come again like they were before. This is the lime box. Yeah, I think it's difficult to see. I think the big one, that's the end there, but because I have taken a photo from this and those two are about the same sign. But it would be changing. Yeah. I'm having a few pictures from a mortuary feast. A person dies and not more than 1 week after they have a feast where there's a mortuary payment, and that's finished. No more feast until the surviving spouse dies. Then the payment is reversed. So they make the grave and they put a small hut over it. And here the visitors come and they mourn around the grave hut. This is a sort of typical rotten baskets, and these are sort of mission baskets, not original in a rotten kind. So, yeah. This is the house of the deceased, and near relatives and people from the location, the village of the deceased, they're sitting on his house. and I guess they would be on this side here. And there's a wearing, woman coming. She was on the same sock band as the deceased. And she's very angry and she cuts down a banana tree. You can see other people have cut other trees.
Is that part of it?
Pardon me?
Is that part of the whole ritual that she cuts down a banana tree?
Yeah, it's not. I've seen several mosque trees and they don't do it always, but sometimes they do. I've seen them cut down bitter palms and banana trees. Usually men do it. She was really in a sort of very angry and upset and sort of nearly hysterical. Mm-hmm. After that, when she she went away and sat with the women. The women were in behind the outside under the home, where this was the man who died and the widow was there. So this is about the thing I talked about, this thing called Nguyen. This man, he's thrown something out the banana, some piece of banana palm stem, and he's thrown it after that one, and he jumped to dodge it. But before they used to throw spears, so maybe they had something like this dodging unusual control. I've also seen fireworks thrown after people, but never in spears. This big roof is from a party that was held before the main time, a year before. So it was this last big piece, and the dancers were standing over there. So this is the mortuary paving. You see a few stone plates, a few necklaces, and a large knocker. I'm really getting confused because they are reversed of all the pictures. I mean, they're left and right, so I can't really make this out.
They look like they're writing it all down with the pencils and the paper.
Yeah, they're my assistants.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
You see they put up in rows of 10, so that's a unit of that, that's called Dabdi. And I think that those are the smaller ones, they would be the most valued, and they'll be lower here, this way. Right. So those are the big ones, and they're more paid on there.
Who pays who?
The people, Sokbane and also other relations of the surviving spouse pays for the deceased people. When the surviving spouse dies, then it goes back again. But then there's a third payment, and that's to the father's people of the deceased. So that corresponds to the program, where they also pay for the father's.
But it's the deceased that pays for the spouse and the father.
Uh-huh.
So, what happens if the deceased...
It's the deceased family pays the father.
What happens if the surviving spouse marries again? Before they marry, they have to pay off that debt?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. the new husband, he would have to repay the
John?
Yeah?
Do you have any sense, do people themselves get confused about how all this works? Or who's who? Who's where in terms of debts and credits and stuff?
It's only the big women that can work this. Ah, big women also, old women, they know it also. The problem was that those that spoke English best, sort of young people like these, they didn't know very much about. So the really big men, they didn't speak English, so I couldn't talk to them directly. And they didn't want to put very much, too much through to me, because it had to, the young men who would learn and they would learn the tricks. And that was a big problem for me.
Now, these supply of these things, is it increasing? Are they still staying at sufficient potential? No.
Not very much. I don't know why they say there are other things to do. We have to make proper, we have the gardens, and I think really that you have to know the magic, and also they say that some of the shells are very difficult to find.
Those ones you showed before were pretty old because they've been drilled and broken and re-drilled and so on.
I mean, they're really, so the higher end ones, they're very, they're antique and very old. These ones, it's just, many of them could be, I mean, I think maybe they made a lot in there and between the walls. This is a payment for a house and for a canoe. This is the canoe payment and this is a house payment. And it was a man and his, I don't remember the actual relationship, but it was a near relative on his father's side. So there was some connection between the two payments. And they had paid an installment of a vendor some years before. And now they're paying the curse section and the shield blade. And because he was going to use the canoe for transporting the copper bags off to the cargo, he also paid some dollars. So it was in the sort of party in the cash field, cash also.
That's real, is that greenstone?
Yeah. I mean, they seem to be an older one.
Because in the trophies, they're sort of black or whatever.
Yeah, but that's what looks like.
There's
some alignment. Yeah. I was wondering, John, or
yeah.
Jeff, excuse me, do you have any idea how long it would take to finish a stone to that degree?
I think it's probably a lot faster than what you might imagine. The flaking of it would be quite fast, the grinding of it might be slow, might be a lot slower. But, I wouldn't be able to make any estimate in terms of hours.
But a day's work, or less or more?
Perhaps a bit more. That's just a wild guess.
Yeah.
I think that's true. I think
they're not put on a rope at this occasion. You can see how the big ones there, at this end of this pavement, at this end of that pavement. So the big ones there is the lower rank ones there.
What are the green stops between them?
That's been
Oh,
there.
I see, yes.
Oh, there's all kinds of different kinds of colors.
I think
it's
different
kinds
of wood art. So this is a pig being killed on what they, what is it then?
Strangler.
A strangler. Very big one. That's the head. It's belly up here.
Right.
They turn it around and they put a pole over the throat and they sort of jump on it to get the air out of the lungs. And there's a frightful noise coming out here and it's slowly dying.
Did they do that in any place else?
Kill pigs
that way?
Savages.
Oh,
I think this is a very humane way. I've seen a pig being killed on Nemo and just get a light knock on the head and then they tried to start to burn it with coconut leaves and it was screaming to death until it couldn't scream anymore because the tongue was so burned. Oh, this is very human
people. And the
trouble is
they just spear it, that's it. One yell and it's dead.
That's not their reputation,
I used to say.
Here the pig has been cut out in parts. This is the middle part and the head here. And the joints, they make two pots with a special soup where the blood is and some pieces of fat. Also other pieces of fat for every part of the pig, and this is being mixed up with sago, and special sago powders are being made and cooked together with the pig. This is the main home of the pig, he was carving it up into. You see how much fat and how little meat that's on the steak. So this is one of these. This is the topmost payment in the dark for the pig, and that has to return. And that one is the man for this one, and that one is the man for that one. They showed around and people put their hands on top of them, and that is a sort of signifying saying it's a witness in the ceremony.
Mm.
part of a big really. Is this a payment for two men who has been farming a big for another man? But there's a row of cook here. Here it's not the whole one, but more or less. And a number of them down here. So I think they are ranked so the low ranked ones are here and the top ranks are up here. And these ones would be the best one.
That one looks
right.
Pardon me?
Every one of those pieces is calculated. It's particular, and it's all sort of laid out
according
to value.
Yeah, are they in rank order or whatever?
That's what it just
sometimes
said.
They
it just said that.
Sometimes they arrange them. It differs. Sometimes they do it more formally, and sometimes they're not so rigid. There have to be some, I mean, it's important that those there appropriate rank, but it's not, it doesn't matter so extremely much how exactly, I mean, this one and I don't know that one, or maybe the same rank, and I mean, it's not, they don't take it very rigidly. And also the number is not so, but I've seen them number the thing, count the things, and they, when they came to 100, they say, oh, okay, stop enough. And I don't think they sort of really have this in their heads for a long time. It doesn't matter so much. It's more the individual trading operations. But even if it's low ranked up, it doesn't matter so much. People should just be generous and don't think too much about numbers. It's when the big ones come in, it gets complicated. So this is the food for the, this is the main part of the pig, and this is all the vegetable food that is presented with the slices of pork. So for the top, there's a robot curve here. They're just going to put on the robot curve and starting to pay and give meat to the people who provide the curve, the contributors. Not only those on the road, but also those lines of men that who came up to mobilize these. The big curve. So for the top curve, there would be a bottle of bananas, and I don't think it's all the food. There would also be some dried lumps of sago, and one or two baskets of taro, cooked taro. And for ordinary people, provided a small curve or some small enough, there would be very thin slice of pork and maybe one or two taro.
That's your informant up there again, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not as it. And that's my wife over there, I don't know what to do. Any more? Yeah. Okay. So, they don't have their dances after all the pig feasts, but a really good tradition of the pig feasts, there should be a dance in the line. And, if the pig is raised in one village and the people who pay the pig, they come from another village. That's the sort of ideal scheme. And they also the dancers. So they've been in the village and paying for the pig, and those of the guests, the visitors who do not have to sing, they've been eating pork. The singers cannot eat pork because otherwise they can't sing properly. But they go out again, all of them, the men and their wives, and the men dress up and with the clothes on and special dance skirts. They used to have a special basket, but I don't see anyone who's here. They have necklaces. This is a plastic one, actually, I think. Other ones are genuine. Some paradise feathers are important. This could be cashmere, couldn't it? And then this is the morning, I think, after they've been dancing all the night. So this is, this is how they dance. Don't move very much, back and forth a little bit, and they sort of feel like men used to behave, like a sort of caricature of female behavior. And then they sing, and the songs are very quick. Flowers and butterflies and things, but they have to do with love and sexuality. But I don't know, I didn't go into this, I couldn't. they could be, that's one of the few instances where they sell sort of things like that, pay for it. They may to pay for it and give it to his wife or a woman to pay for it.
This is part of the messy math,
yeah.
Not the messy one.
They're part of the Masoon after all. And then we're screwed.
Any more?
No.
People, since Jerry's gone, can I say something? There's an autograph book for people to sign thanking Jerry for doing the organizing of it. So if you could sort of see me sometimes sign it before tomorrow night, but don't tell him, but tell everybody else, right? You always get a page, you write, you know, thank you or whatever. So, you can start it up.
Because people bring their glasses on the thing.
Essentials that were moving around in pre-classification days were the pots and the axe blades, the real axe blades. But this is in a context of warfare and in a context where it was highly dangerous to the travel overseas to get hold of these things. And we have not followed up the what you know by Erwin and by Milo, about the kind of network which could be placed over historical time emerging from there. We also have followed up some observations of which somebody mentioned in our Malinowski that when he was there, he counted the boats, the canoes that were in the Kobiat area. What is significant to me is that it was the small places which had the large fleets. It wasn't the big fleets on small islands. And the logic about this, in that in a situation of physical danger, people who produce their own food and so on can forego the benefits of trade, but the small island people have got to trade or die out. And I think that this aspect of the matter, of the way that the ecology forced certain groups to become superior in a naval sense as well as a merchant naval sense, may be part of the pattern we ought to look at. But the come down to what we were talking about yesterday, which I think can connect up with some of these points. I mean, by yesterday, we were talking very much about ideology and myth. And there's a question of whether anybody ever does the participants prior to, or trouble is that a lot of people have written on Ruskin now, including no doubt a lot of the participants in the cooler, but Malinowski himself did not claim that the programmers had any conception of a ring. He said very specifically that none of my local informants have the notion of the total system. It is I, as an ethnographer, have the notion of the total system. And the reason he had the notion of the total system was that he was aware that these, particularly named variables, turn up again, and if they're only going one way around the clock, there must be another side of the clock. But from what we've heard this week, the participants tend to think of simply segments of paths. The paths have a beginning and the paths have an end. And it's only logic which says that, well, you know, in order for the thing to get back to the beginning again, there must be another half of the circle. But this is a rationalistic way of looking at things. I mean, the ancient Egyptians, to take one famous example, observed the sun going overhead every day, and had the ideology of going back to the beginning again underground every night. And there are lots of people like that. So you don't have to have the fact that you have a path in this world doesn't mean that it's a circular path, even though the same things keep cropping up on it. And certainly my view of the story which Jerry presented to us yesterday was of a myth which said that you're in the programs, and the myth starts with myth stretches from Ferguson on one side to Woodlark on the other, and that is the length of the path in this world. But when it gets to the end of the path, what happens then? You've got to go underground, you've got to kill somebody, you've got to kill the thing and send it underground back to the beginning again. And this would be, the path underground would match the path in the sky. There was an ideology of that sort. Now, it may be that there are all sorts of other possibilities, but it doesn't logically follow. What I'm saying is that because things are known to keep on coming back to the beginning, that the people themselves have a visual sort of imagery of an in this world geography which takes them round the circle. So there are two quite different problems. One is for us as ethnographers to satisfy ourselves as to how the things do get back to the beginning. What are the real facts in the real world of empirical fact about how things move around some kind of circle? And this must be distinguished quite clearly from the imagery of the people themselves, how they imagine that things get back to the beginning again. The other point that I was making on reflection about, which is something to do with the same idea, is when I, ca- I came into Giancarlo's fascinating picture story when I, well, in the middle, there were some beautiful ladies, naked ladies sitting on top of a dolphin. I wasn't quite sure what was happening, but a little later in his slides, he showed a canoe board with a copulating couple on the top, with man standing upright and woman on the ground. This is a Narosky in Sexual Life of Savages goes to some lengths to explain how superior this mode of copulation is in the eyes of the program of the European mode, lying parallel one on top of another. And one of the points is, of course, that the man can move, and he moves backwards and forwards. in the cooler, the objects just move in one direction, but the men go backwards and forwards. The men go to fetch the objects from overseas. They go out on an expedition and they come back with the objects. The objects themselves just move steadily in the same direction, step by step. Now, it occurred to me, and again, in terms of the argument we were having at one point yesterday about the sex of the symbolism of the sex of the object, some of the ethnographers suggested that the arm shells were male and the silala were female, and some of the ethnographers suggested the reverse, and there was a great argument as to whether this was an historical change, and so on and so forth. Now it could be, and here I'm open to correction, it may not be, but I'm suggesting that what the ideology says is that metaphorically these objects are of opposite sex, and when you bring them together it is like a marriage, but the ideology very likely does not say the one are either male or female. It merely says the objects over there, which you go to fetch, are like females, and the men are going after them, so that whatever the men go to fetch are the females. And if they go to fetch arm shells, the arm shells are females. If they go to fetch sulava, the sulava are females. Now this is just a hypothesis, but it might make sense of this paradoxical, rather contradictory material. But I think the debate perhaps should focus on whether there is really any feeling among in the ethnography for a ring in this world, or whether part of the path is not in some other world.
Is there a ring?
Doesn't the ring shape? It doesn't exactly a ring shape, it's more trapezium, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, does it go around?
Oh, ranges went around. Whatever.
Ranges went around. The answer from my corner is yes.
And
when they talk about the circulation of arm shells as wall and necklaces, bacon, that's a ring.
Right. Ring in what sense? Elaborate.
The first time, you know, every time I opened a discussion with a new informant, you know, they would carry me all the way around the thing, naming the villages and, you know, the villages in the circle. Now, where it's broken is a relation with actually keep them. But, you know, for them, that is conceptually different.
So there's a chain of partners which eventually came back to the first linkage.
Yes, now I think as a number of us pointed out, only as somebody's really getting high do they actually know the real people, or come fairly close to knowing all the people involved in it.
Or someone who is a middle range person knows. I mean, a man who is reasonably substantial, and all my informants who are reasonably substantial had, which they told me, the names of each person, each place, and they could tell me that, and sometimes they'd forget someone, but they knew that it was going through. Yeah, they couldn't remember the name. And when they came back, it was closed. It was called Yparal. It closes.
John?
Yeah, I would say that it's difficult to separate the real world from the sort of outside or level world. I think that they knew there was a ring, but part of it was very, they were not able to control it. They only had relations to the nearby islands, and they knew a bit about the partners further away, but on the other side, it was far away, and it could be as well be in the netherworld, or in the heaven, or skies, or somewhere.
Yeah.
It was just...
Fred was earlier saying that as a ring, there was a linkage all the way around, and on your side, it's informationally dense. You know, lots of people
mm-hmm.
and lots of shell. You've got lots to say about it. On the other side, it's informationally thin. You know very little, only that it's that there is a link.
That's definitely the case. It's informationally thin, although,
yeah.
but they and they make arrangements over on the other side.
Yeah, Shirley?
I think in terms, if you're going to be speaking of the cater of partnerships or the linkage of men, you can think in terms of a ring.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're thinking in terms of the actual transaction and the cater of the shells, it's not a ring.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not well formed.
Not necessarily,
in any given instance.
A ring is a chain of partners, but
mm-hmm.
it isn't a chain of transactions.
Yes. Yes. Linking various communities around the whole mass scene, whereas the transactions can go two or three stops and go back again, that's the end, so it's a lineal. And occasionally you get it going all the way around, but then again, it doesn't go through the same person necessarily. It can start off in that community through one person, come all the way around, go to another person in that community and go around, so it's more like a spiral type thing.
The shells don't go along a single path going all the way around, but they may go all the way around and continue back so that one has the fact that, and they know this, that the surface shell was in their community at time X and it's come around again.
Yeah.
So how it came around is another.
Yes.
That's what you're betting on, you see, is that, you know, your partner is going to be linked up geographically. I'm going to encompass all the things that you need eventually, and then it will eventually return.
Previously, we've identified three meanings to care: the linkage between communities, the linkage between partners, change of partners, and the flow of a particular shell going down and its mate coming back, so to speak. So that's, we've separated those out. There may still be further meanings.
Well, I'm sure there are. I was going to ask if people have got any notion of the relative length of particular links in the ring, because I think some evidence that people's perception of space is more a logarithmic one than anything else, and with increasing distance away from the observer, relative distance is becoming less and less. So I was sort of wondering whether people measure the length of links in terms of some notion of distance, or between two known points, or whether or not they measure it in terms of duration, or whether or not how they actually perceive the ring is just a sort of a system of memorizing its component parts rather than any sort of awareness of the of what's actually going on the ground and over the sea.
Anna?
Yeah, that's a good point. In Kiriwena, when I talk to men, I never use the word ring, but they drew me on a piece of paper, my notebook, a ring. And there was a line, and it was a circle for a name of a person, and that was a place, and then it went to the next one, and they had these things all linked up. Now, when I talked further, and I was collecting specific information about these rings, which are really Kata and Shirley, I mean, I have the same thing. It's really the names of men, which they conceptualize as forming a ring because those names come back. The point that they always stressed, and now men have pieces of paper with these names written on, that to do coolly, you have to know how to talk very well. Now, it's not just talk in terms of persuasion, but you must memorize the names that are in your kata when you're doing business with one person. Because you have to also, part of the influence and persuasion is not just that you're good and you can do this well and you're powerful, but that the other people, the names on your ring are also important names and they are powerful. So that you're presenting your partner not just with yourself, but I think this has come up during the week, people have mentioned it, but with a whole visual image of the men that form your kata.
Yes.
And so that's really the distance. It has to do with the names of men.
Mm.
And so that when your name circulates, it's not just an ideology, but your name is circulating for very specific purposes at another level, which is to assure your partner that, in fact, if you give me your valuable, I'm going to put it in good hands all the way around. So in that sense, it's a conceptualization.
Well, presumably today, everybody's knowledge of geography is not good, whereas 50 years ago, it was probably very bad.
Well, it's not, I don't know about the geography in terms of here is Kiriwina and here, and the islands are placed in the way. It's the name, the association of the name of a man who lives on Normanby, you know, in this village on Normanby, the name of a man who is on Gawa, a particular village on Gawa, and that it moves from Kiriwina to Kitava, the Uagawa.
But what happens beyond Woodlawn?
Oh, they continue, and I don't know, I should have brought them. I have the names and the places. That it does go around into the Dantruk, into Normanby, back down, down and
oh,
back
does
up.
Not too
yeah.
Let me try out one idea from deriving from what Shirley said, that a chain of partners can be arranged, but a set of transactions can be seen as linear, going down and coming back. Could it be that there, for the high-ranked shells, this is not true, for the medium and low-ranked shells, this is true? Is it the case that the high-ranked shells are, in fact, seen to be circulating like that, and, in fact, forever, non-ova, whatever it's matched with, is coming back to itself, so that at the top of the deck, so to speak, even the chain of transactions is ring-like, but at the bottom of the deck, it can be linear, depending on the status of the shell that you're handling?
In reality, it's linear, but I think ideally they would. I mean, okay, the large arm shells and the necklaces that do go, they do tend to go around because people are more careful to keep them going around in the same ring. Is from my information, from what they were saying, and also from the cade of the knowledge that I got of the big shells.
And they don't ever go outside. They're staying in the thing everywhere. They don't go outside. They stay in. So they're more likely to match each other than the bottom-ranked shells are, which may trickle out.
Well, sometimes they do go outside, like this big nanola did go outside but came back in again,
well,
started over again. But
considering that is a possible exception,
is
there a lot of cases like that?
Yes, it's not an exception. Globulable, the highest-ranked arm shell is a keto of somebody, you know, that can circulate in the, you know, what everybody's been calling the internal sphere.
Mm, yeah. I'd say it's pulled, a lot of them do get pulled in and get held on to for a long time
right.
And start off again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the participants in the Kula, they, on some occasions they wanted to be a ring, and on other occasions they want it not to be a ring. They want some of the if they want their own valuable bag, they want it to be a ring, but sometimes they want to take valuable thoughts. And rings are very not very conspicuous in the canoe cross. It's always sort of spirals, more or less open possibility that it can close or not close.
Normanby, of course, is completely different. Very strange. One thing is that on Normanby, we have a lot of transactions and valuables that are termed grimani. And these, I think, are best not conceived as a ring or even a line as much as simply a dyad of a buyer and a seller.
Yeah.
And probably the majority of transactions, you haven't actually counted them, take place between two people who simply sit down and negotiate things. These presumably are the valuables that end up on the other side of the ring and look more like kula valuables being traded within the kula when they get there. The other thing is, Normanby, as I've said, has a pretty straightforward sense of the kula as being a chain of people with fairly tight constraints upon the possibility of switching valuables between tethers, playing partners off against one another, and all these fancy strategic games that people in the north like to play. They have a very, very vague and diffuse notion of anything beyond Kainawari in that direction and beyond, say, the Amphlex in the other direction. This whole northern part of the Kula is very, very vague and slightly fuzzy, which isn't to say they've simplified it. They see this as the area where strange things happen to the Kula, where people must have some kind of more complicated system going on because valuables don't follow the rules that they're supposed to follow in this stuff. They seem to be switched back and forth between Keta.
Yeah. So you, from the Normanby perspective, don't see a chain of partners all the way around it. You see
People don't very, very rarely know even the partners of their partners. They have a sense of a list of islands, but it's probably much more simplified than elsewhere in the ring. It's probably half a dozen or eight islands that form this loop. But then this is only relevant for the trade of these very valuable Kikoma valuables that don't return to the village, and for the trade of Kunanuwisi valuables, which were never for the rest of the valuables, it's much more of a very ad hoc thing between dyads now. As I mentioned, there is a trade between Agon people and Normanby people, which sort of short circuits the ring.
That this notion of knowing the whole ring would need to be updated all the time because people die and so on. And you would have to be highly, very well informed about what was going on if your thing was other than a kind of imaginary genealogy. These names of people on islands all the way around could very well be like a sort of mythical genealogy which were established one time, but the only part that you would ever really be able to update and bring into action would be the part in your immediate vicinity you'd never be able to.
Well, one of the points that Dawkins always made was that when someone died, the path, and on a particular path, the path often was cut and had dents on it which couldn't be closed. And they were aware, and they could give me, well-informed people could give me changes of individuals on paths. Of course it's like a genealogy in a sense. We don't know anymore about the accuracy of genealogies or about the accuracy of these paths, but nevertheless their conception of the problem, their awareness that you have, that there are changes in partners and they can give old the names of old partners and who inherited position in the names of the people who inherited positions, often again it's a matter of information density as those were closer. Nevertheless, the principle is known for the whole.
As far as I can reconstruct the situation, Gaganamori in Dobuwaran have trained partners across Dobu Passage about a mile or two away in Waiawa. And from them he would learn suddenly that they had trade partners in Bakunda. He also had trade partners in Tube Tube, and from them he'd learn that the Tube Tube people had trade partners in Woodnack Island. Now the only part he didn't know about was Bakunda or Simiketa to Woodnack Island. And he met Anna McCullough in 1892 on a trip with William McGregor to him. But I don't think he asked Anna McCullough anything about the tour. So he wouldn't know about Anna McCullough.
So
it's part of Malinowski's idea that everybody knew Anna McCullough. It's very doubtful that Gaganamori, before he met him, knew that he existed.
So you're suggesting the ring is in fact a modern advance.
Well, one sector he didn't know, just one sector, a small sector between Vakut and Seneca and Woodlike Island. He didn't know about it, but it wouldn't have, he didn't believe that the things went round in another world or they went underground.
Just
that
there was a hole or
something. Just a hole in geographical knowledge, but he knew they came back.
Susan? Yeah, the communication thing on this I've always been very puzzled about. There were kind of others who talked about sailing. They talked about sailing to the Koya, you know, themselves. And they talked about people sailing to Katawa. And while I was there, somebody from Woodlock came and was living in the village. You know, and it seemed to me that more or less their direct connections with people encompassed most of what we would call the ring that was a ring. I mean, you know, they had direct ties with virtually. And in their books, which were...
This is clear
so
of pacification, because it's very clear that in the 1890s, or 1880s anyway, the suicide could go charging overseas.
Well, that's not really true, because it says that the wine had been coming there since the turn of the century. So I'm really curious about this, because I didn't get that impression that they did not sail a lot. I had a feeling that they did. So I don't know.
Yeah, there were all. I have genealogies of land which talk about something really traumatic happening, like adultery, and this is before a colonial position had been imposed. And people, this particular brother and a few other relatives would leave the island and go to live on Iwa, Gawa, perhaps even Woodlark. I have a case of Woodlark. Also, some people learn magic